much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Our radio program starts with a blast of Cali Ho Horn.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
She does a freestyle.
Okay.
I'm just going to think it up.
As freestyle? Well, let me sit back. Go ahead, Marshall.
Okay. Years ago, they tried to put me in the... this is a lie.
Did you want to try to read something from your book?
Yeah.
If you look at what I said, you will see that that question was answered perfectly.
I can't tell when I'm talking or when I'm not talking. You're talking. Emma, yes. I'm talking. Yes.
Your mouth is moving.
What? I'm going to stab you by the end of the night.
And now.
Hey, it's Taylor Swift. You're listening to the
Kevin and Bean Show.
Our feature presentation.
That was deeply troubling. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 29th of April.
What's up, muskrats?
What are you doing? Why muskrats?
I don't know. I just thought of it.
That's it. What's we're going to call each other muskrats from now on.
What's up, hedgehogs? Hey, guys.
Hey. Hello.
What's going on?
Is it weird not being here, Bean?
It's great not being there, Bean.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. It's fantastic.
But you loved it.
You know when you're on the road for work, you guys, all you want to do is get home.
Sure.
Your own bed, your own wife, your own dog.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I had a fine visit last week though.
Mm-hmm.
Had something interesting happen on the flight home on Saturday.
Let me guess. Does it involve a hot chick?
No.
Oh. Okay. I'm shocked.
First of all, and this isn't the story. I got to the airport at 6:30, a little early. The flight was at 9:40. Supposed to board at 9. So I thought, oh, if it's supposed to board at 9, I should be there by 7. But it worked out, and I got there early. So I got there at 6:30. Plane took off at 12:15.
Oh, jeez.
That was first of all.
Oof.
And it kind of leads into the interesting thing that I saw happen is after the second time the pilot came out and announced, and I mean came out meaning he didn't make the announcement from the cockpit. He actually came out and stood in the plane for people to see him. And he said, we've got a malfunction in a part. It's minor. It's a connector between two things. He didn't go into any more detail beyond that. He said, and we need to fix that. We need to get another one before we're able to take off. And then they thought they had one in stock, but then they didn't. And then they were going to borrow it from United. And then there was a bunch of paperwork involved. So it ended up taking a lot longer than they expected it would. So we're all sitting there on the plane before they let us off the plane, by the way, to chill for an hour before they put us back on the plane.
Oof.
So after the second time the pilot came out, this older gentleman who announced that he had Asperger's syndrome, ears pricked up, he went up to the pilot and to the flight attendants. He said, I am scared to continue on this flight. I don't know if I want to be on this plane because of what you've just said. And I thought this was really interesting to see how they were going to handle this.
I don't have Asperger's, but there does come a point where if they're working on the plane and they keep telling you that there's something wrong, you start to think, is this one of those signs where people go, okay, I'm going to get off, and then the plane goes down. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Hey, quick question. How did he announce he had Asperger's?
He just said it just right up front as he walked up to the front of the plane to talk to the pilot and the flight attendant. He said, listen, I have Asperger's and I don't think I can continue on this plane.
Hmm.
I think he was telling them that he is a person that is sensitive to his emotions and his feelings.
Yeah.
And he just kind of wanted them to know. So I was curious to see how they were going to handle this. Was it just going to be a beat it kid thing or what? Or were they just going to kind of brush him off? I was so impressed with the Delta crew. How seriously they took him.
Stun gun?
How comforted they made him feel.
Dropkick?
And the pilot went into some more detail about the part.
Reach around to the... What? Oh.
Huh?
I was trying
testies?
To play.
You're looking for testes? and the pilot...
Powerbomb through a table?
Listen, I'm trying to tell you what happened.
Right, okay.
The pilot went out of his way to tell him, I would not ever... take this plane into the air if I thought there was anything even 1% wrong with it. your safety and the safety of everybody on this plane is the only thing that I care about. It's getting you from here to there safely is my job. And I promise you that I would not take off if that were the case. And he was still kind of like, I mean, he was wigging out a little bit. And the flight attendant's like, what can we do for you? Do you need, do you want to get off the plane and think about it and come back in? Do you want food? Do you want water? Do you want Tylenol? I mean, they were really like doing everything they could to try to make this man feel better.
Belly to belly suplex?
Which I thought was really impressive that they took it seriously and took the time for it.
Foot
that
massage?
That is nice.
Yeah, I just thought it was really, really nice. And he ultimately ended up staying on the plane. There were other people on the plane, by the way, who did not. There were other people on the plane who did get off. One I heard say, well, the
I'm
thing
a Virgo.
I was
like they walked up, they're like, I'm a Virgo. It's a very sensitive sign.
I have diarrhea.
One guy got off the plane because he said, the thing I was going to in New Orleans will be over by the time we land. So I wasn't going to take, my luggage off the plane.
Oh,
I don't know how they were able to do that. I mean, I was thinking that puts the airline in an unusual situation because they don't want to intentionally send a dude's plane to another city when they know the guy's not on the plane. On the other hand, they generally don't allow luggage without a passenger associated with it to go to another location. So I guess that's one of the things they had to do during the time that we were waiting is go on and fish through all of that luggage down there to pull his bag off.
Wow.
I guess what I'm saying is keep it a schedule if you're an airline, as much as we all get frustrated, is very complicated.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There are a lot of things in play, a lot of plates in the air with something like that. But as bummed as I was about how late we were, you know, it screwed up other people more than me because they had connecting flights. But I was really impressed with Delta. And I know oftentimes we don't take the time to congratulate somebody or commend somebody for handling a situation that's potentially difficult and doing it well. But I was really impressed to see the way they handled it.
Did you walk back to the guy with the Asperger's and change seats with somebody so you could sit next to him?
Have a quick
I didn't
talk,
do that.
No?
Have a quick
chat. I get you. Let's be together.
Right, exactly. Maybe hold hands.
Right? Then the lady sitting next to him was like, I'm a Virgo. I'm a very sensitive sign.
I could have held hands with the Asperger's guy as the plane went down.
Oh, jeez.
But it worked out that way. But everybody landed and everybody was fine. So, mission accomplished.
A little late, but all right.
Yeah.
No worries with that.
Look, this is what I say about car crashes. If you ever in a car crash, it sucks and it's awful. But if you walk away, you're lucky. And that's kind of how I feel about planes these days. You know what I mean? If
sure.
you don't crash, everything else doesn't matter.
Until it's 12:15.
That would be quite the tagline for an airplane, for a company, right?
United.
Hey.
If you land, we're pretty stoked.
What else is more important than that?
I'm available if you guys need me.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Is there a sickle or a penis in this story?
No, there's not. Thank goodness. Great news?
Yeah.
Great news.
Because it's Monday. April Foolishness recap.
Oh, man.
A lot of crazy stuff went on.
Still on that high, right?
Everything is either AB or PB to me.
Right. After?
After or pre. Oh, I had it. Could have flipped them, but whatever. Guys, it was a good battle. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm happy we did it. I feel like I'm done with that now.
Oh, yeah, so we're going to do a weekly rap battle now.
Oh, are
that's
we?
Part of the
no.
show.
No, I'm with Kevin. It's like running a marathon. It's the worst day of your life, but you only do it once.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, for people who don't know, you guys killed it, but we'll get into that later.
And do people only do a marathon once?
A lot of people do. It's a bucket list item that they go, that's it. I don't ever have to do it again. I just wanted to see if I could.
Huh.
Only one guy ran more than one marathon
really?
In history.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Prefontaine. It's what made him so popular.
Olivia Wilde will be on the program today.
Yay.
Oh, I love her so much.
Same. Comedian Felipe Esparza will be on the show today.
Killed.
Oh, I love him so much.
Yep. And the details at 7:15 about the K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau. We're back to a Luau. Details at 7:15.
What happened to the E-Fiesta? Remember those days?
I do, yeah. I think they're just switching it up a bit.
Okay.
Can we roast a pig?
I'm going to wear a grass skirt. That's all I know.
No.
grass skirt and coconut boobs, I hope.
Yes, both.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up at 7:15. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
It is Monday morning, but there's reason to be excited because today is the big day. We announced the K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019 at 7:15 this morning. We'll have all the details so that you can join us for the party of the summer. Allie, how was your weekend?
It was good. Friday was a long day for all of us. So I slept in on Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it felt real nice. Like,
you weren't at the airport at 6:30 a.m. Saturday?
I was not. I was not. I live in the city in which I broadcast.
Oh, I see.
So
you should try that, Bean.
Yeah. You'd love it here, Bean. No? But it was a good weekend, for sure. You know
Did you go see Avengers?
You know who had a great weekend?
Yeah.
Anyone that saw Avengers or had money involved with the movie, because it did okay. Kevin, you saw it?
I did.
And?
The best finale of a movie series ever.
Not better than Godfather 3?
Ever. I mean, they brought every important part of the MCU universe was involved, and they didn't let anything slip, and no one was there gratuitously.
Right.
It was really, really great.
Emotional?
Very.
Really?
Very emotional, yeah. Funny, yes.
As funny as the guy.
A pretty little bow?
The guy had said last week that it's as funny as Thor Ragnarok and a couple others.
I don't think it was that funny because they had so much else to do, but it was like the funny moments were truly funny.
Yeah.
You know, what about a lot of big movies like that fail when they try to add humor or whatever, but they didn't. It was natural. It was great.
Well, they're also blessed with actors with terrific comic abilities, too. Mm-hmm. We talked to some listeners on Friday morning who had gone to the Thursday night screenings, and they said, yeah, it's over 3 hours, but it flies by.
Yep.
Did you find that to be the case as well?
Could have used another half hour.
Really?
Yep. How about that?
That's not true.
Yeah.
3.5 hours.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm saying 3 hours doesn't bother you when it's like it's a wrap-up of how many years?
11.
11 years, and they're wrapping up all the storylines, and it was really good.
Did you prepare yourself by not drinking a lot of water before, so you went in with an empty bladder?
I did not.
Did you bring a sleeping bag?
That was good.
No, you wore a diaper?
I did not. I didn't do either of those.
Canteen?
Did you pee in a bottle?
Yeah.
I would like to say that there is a girl who had to go to the bathroom and couldn't wait anymore.
Yeah.
She was in the middle of my row.
Of course she was.
She started, like, running out and stepping on all of our feet on the way out.
Oh, no.
And she went to the bathroom and she came back in. And I think, in my opinion, it was she missed in the
toilet
45 seconds, 50 seconds she was gone. She missed the most important part of the movie.
No. Yes. Oh,
yes.
No.
I was like, oh, my God. And then she came running back in. I felt like I should tell her, but.
Right.
Yeah, that was not good timing.
There were guides online of when to pee.
Yeah.
She didn't check that, apparently.
She didn't.
Or she just couldn't wait anymore.
Oh, it was brutal. I was like, you know, we're here for 3 hours, and if you've been paying attention to the movies 11 years, that moment can't be missed.
Oh, no.
And she missed it.
Oh, sweet spirit.
So Kevin was the only one who went to see it in the whole world, Allie?
Yes, except for, you know,
I felt like there
everyone.
Were other people.
Yeah, Avengers Endgame has become the first movie to earn over $1 billion at the global box office after its first weekend in theaters. I don't know if you're hearing that.
Did you say you said billion?
Yes.
With a B.
But I'm going to tell you, it's already crossed the $1.2 billion worldwide market. That's in its first weekend. That's not total.
That's what they're projecting
first,
for down the road.
Has already surpassed $1.2 billion worldwide. It's now the fastest film.
This was a success.
Absolute success. Fastest film to gross $1 billion and has eclipsed the total theatrical runs of 17 of its 21 MCU predecessors in just 5 days. That's unreal.
That is.
But perhaps the most notable record broken was the domestic opening weekend, currently estimated at $350 million.
That is insane.
That is insane.
And that's probably going to go up when final numbers come in today. They were thinking, like, it might pass 300, but we're being kind of optimistic.
Let's not be too greedy.
Yeah. $350 million. At this rate, Endgame could be on track to becoming the highest grossing movie ever. And there were other movies in the movie theater coming in number two this weekend. Captain Marvel. I mean, come on. It's absurd. Coming in at number three, The Curse of La Llorona.
I just want to say this. I looked at the ArcLight. I looked at all of the theaters. They were all Avengers Endgame.
Right.
Except for one theater was showing The Curse of La Llorona, which
How
I wanted
funny.
To see. But I was like, that's the only one that made it.
Unbelievable. Breakthrough came in at number four with $6.3 million.
What
and
the heck
Shazam.
Is Breakthrough?
That's the kind of, it's kind of religious. It's with Kate from...
Kate
from...
And,
what?
Kate from This Is
Plus
Us?
Eight? Kate from This Is Us, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And her son, I think he's like in a frozen lake. I could be making all this up.
Okay.
But somehow he's
her
fine.
Her son lives in a frozen lake?
He does. It's a weird that she has to bring him food.
Right.
She's like, did you study today? He's like, Mom, get out of my lake.
They do the prom pics with the woman down near the lake. Yeah.
Right? Why are you...
Like she's waving. Hello.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually, the previews of that movie made me tear up a little bit. Can't remember for sure if it was a frozen lake, but I do know he lived. It's a real breakthrough. Shazam came in fifth, by the way. You guys, that's quite a number. But what if you're one of those guys that sees the movie and then you decide as you're leaving the theater, you know what, I'm just going to yell spoilers at the people that are waiting in line at the
Nobody
theater.
Nobody did that.
They did. That
you're,
was,
yeah.
The guy that got up in front of our movie to introduce it said, don't do that. Yeah. Apparently people were just, made them laugh. As people were coming into the movie to shout out spoilers going out.
That is sick. Yeah. This guy did it in Hong Kong, and he survived with his life, which is good. But if you look at the pictures, there's just a guy in a white T-shirt seated against a wall being treated by fellow onlookers as blood trickles down the side of his face because he got the crap beaten out of him.
Sorry, I deserved it.
Absolutely.
Oh, jeez.
No, if you are that big of an a-hole, you deserve to be kicked in the face.
That's how you learn not to be an a-hole.
Absolutely. Jensen does not agree.
No, I agree. I just am never excited to be like, you guys should assault a dude.
No, of course not. But if he's doing that...
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm excited to say you should assault someone. In this case, for sure. Not a good situation.
No.
We're also going to talk about spoilers online, which they tell you not to go online. But you also don't have to be that big of an a-hole on the first weekend that something's out. We're going to talk about a NFL player with almost, a million people that follow him that's given away spoilers and a video where he explains what he would have done different in the movie.
Wow.
Oh,
the guy is a horrible man. We're going to talk about him.
I guess he's not afraid of getting assaulted, though. He's kind
probably
of a
not.
Huge man. Yeah.
Probably
he's
not.
Probably a patriot, too, right?
No. Shockingly, he is not. He's plays for a team where you throw dildos on the field.
Okay.
He's a Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, that's a weird celebration.
I mean, I could just do the story now, really, if I gave you the whole story. Except, okay, I'll tell you later. Hey, some birthdays for you. Daniel Day-Lewis, Willie Nelson. Bean, how you doing?
Willie seems to be healthy and happy right now. He's just announced a new album on Friday, so he's still working at, 86 years old today?
Absolutely, and he'll be here playing on Sunday night. Michelle Pfeiffer, Jerry Seinfeld, Uma Thurman.
All the details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau at 7:15 this morning.
Also next hour, we'll break down the Kevin Bean rap battle that was happening Friday night at the April Foolishness. But there were some other things that were going on. Kevin, I'm still mad at you.
Me?
Oh, no.
Yes.
You're mad at me?
I'm mad at you.
Okay.
For all the times leading up to April Foolishness where you said, Bean loves hugs. When you see Bean, make sure to wrap your arms around him tight like a cocoon. Because I'm not complaining for reals, because for 2.5 hours, we met all the listeners that were at the VIP pre-party, right?
And the nicest, most genuine people ever.
Lovely.
It was so emotional and so moving, and they were so sweet. And we don't even have time to get into it now, but the stories that we heard in the couple of minutes that we had with each person talking about what this show has meant to you, right back at you, 1,000%. That's what you have meant to us. But I will tell you, about every fourth person came up and they said, well, you don't got to hug you.
Uh-huh. You loved it.
So
you're welcome.
They were all over me. Our listeners are very handsy, is what I'm saying.
You're welcome.
And that's because of you.
And this was my first meet and greet. Mm-hmm. And I just the mass amount of people, after we did about 200, we were like, okay, cool, because the line was done. Mm-hmm. And so we were all getting ready to go back. And they go, no, there's 300 more. They're just in a different room waiting to come over.
Yeah,
here.
They did it like in a weird Disneyland maze type of thing. So they're like, no, we're going to bring in group two now. We're like, wait, what?
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was unreal.
They were all so nice. So nice.
So nice.
So nice. I'm just in love with our listeners. And Jensen, you in particular, you had a real bond with the lady that came through the line, right?
I still can't believe this happened. So I, as a battle rapper myself, it is extremely hard to get under my skin. I've heard everything. I really don't care. And so a woman, very nice woman, walks up and she looks at Kevin and looks at Bean and goes, oh, I love you, Kevin. I love you, Bean. And then she turns to me and she goes, and my late husband hated you. And I didn't, like, obviously that's not, we didn't understand what
not
she said.
Not ex-husband, mm-hmm. late husband.
Yeah. So we didn't understand. So I sort of go, oh, like I'm not putting it together, really. Mm-hmm. Like, what did she say? So Kevin turns to me and he says, I think she just said her late husband hated you. And I went, I think she did. And then she turns to us and goes, yeah, he hated you. And I was like, what? And then she goes, yeah, he used to love Kevin and Bean, but every time you came on, he was like, F Jensen. And I looked at her and I normally would be like, well, I could say something about her husband, but I looked at her and just went, I have very mixed feelings about this.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead, so I feel bad for you, but also, like, good riddance?
Wow.
Like, I didn't know what
you
to...
You could have kept that to yourself as well.
I didn't know what to say to her, so I was just
it
like...
It was unreal.
But
was
also, awesome. Her husband would have had to die within the last, like, 7 months.
Correct.
Yes. Would.
Unreal.
Yes. She was still working through some stuff.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
The people who grew up with this show... First of all, I feel sorry for you. You certainly could have made better choices.
And you had bad parents. Mm-hmm.
The people whose parents let them listen to this show. I mean, I heard from somebody who said, I wouldn't have gotten up every morning for high school if it hadn't been for I was excited to hear Kevin and Bean. I mean, I never would have made it to school and graduated if it hadn't been for your show. I mean, how do you respond to something like that?
It's impossible.
A guy came through who lost a child and said we were the only bright spot in his day. For a couple of years after that. I mean, there's no appropriate response to something like that.
Yeah, just
I
a
mean,
hug.
You shouldn't have said, beat it, kid. I thought well, that was rude.
It seemed a little.
All right, stop filibustering. I got to get to this story. So,
and then nothing else happened. That was it. That was the extent of all of the things that happened. And I was completely appropriate, and I never ran into somebody on the street and said something I shouldn't have said.
So Bean doesn't really get out much.
No.
And he has Asperger's. Mm-hmm. So, and the part of Asperger's that he has is it's impossible. If he's talking to somebody, he can't get a read on how their
social norms, yes, social cues.
How they're reacting yeah. to mm-hmm. it. Is this... Are they hating this? Are they loving this? He has no read on that. So, and I want everybody just to be our witnesses in mm-hmm. case this gets used against us because it's not at all racist.
No. Well, that's a great way to set anything
right.
up.
So,
you see that? You see how white people do?
So there's a
what
guy.
What Kevin is saying is he has black friends, okay? So he can't
right.
be racist.
There's
don't
a guy.
Whitey.
There's a guy that we interact with on Twitter. And his Twitter name is Negro of the Galaxy.
That is his handle.
That's what he named himself.
Mm-hmm. And he is a frequent contributor yes. to the show, a super fan, one of our most loyal listeners. And I think we all have a very friendly relationship with Negro.
Yes.
Come on, man. You're making it worse now.
That's what his Twitter handle is.
I know.
Well, his
so,
Twitter
I don't know
handle
his real name.
Is actually @ Mr. Get It On Jones.
But his handle
his
name.
His name, yes. Negro yeah. of the Galaxy.
So we're there to rehearse our rap battle. We're early. We decide to go get some food. We're walking outside of Microsoft Theater. And a giant black man comes by on a little scooter.
Mm-hmm.
And Bean sees him and somehow locks into the fact that this must be
sure
that guy with mm-hmm. the handle Negro of the Galaxy.
There is only now, one African-American man
right.
downtown L.A.
Okay, now
that's
hold on
it.
A second.
Yep.
Hold on. Uh-huh. Hold on. You've been to our events before. It's possible he would have been the only black guy at our event, okay?
There was a Clippers game happening at the same time as our event.
But this guy went right by us on a scooter, and we made eye contact, and he looks just like the photo that our listener uses as
his
Twitter
avatar. The photo is a cartoon that he uses.
This guy was a cartoon.
But we've seen, I'm sorry, not the avatar, that he's posted pictures of himself at various things with his girlfriend and stuff like that. And this guy really did look just like him. So it was not unreasonable for me to assume that it might actually be our fan.
Might.
Negro of the Galaxy, because he was at our event and
well,
we
not,
locked
not
eyes.
Really. He was just driving by
he
earlier.
Was, yeah,
well, it turned out, yeah, he wasn't
street.
There for us.
Right.
But
so,
I thought
okay.
it was, but I thought it was him.
Okay.
So Bean thinks it's him and doesn't say, hey, are you the listener that we interact with on Twitter uh-huh. with the name? He doesn't say, are you the guy, Negro of the Galaxy, on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
He says to this random guy, just these words, are you the Negro of the Galaxy?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's
all he said.
Imagine being that guy.
Right. Oh, so man. That guy hears this, and he keeps going, but he turns around and he goes, that's racist! And I was like, look, I know Bean, and I know he didn't mean it that way, but imagine being that guy.
Oh, my God.
Imagine that.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
And it happened in about a second and a half, all of it. So it took us a little while to sort of go, what? Did you just shout? Did he what? I've never seen something that happens so fast go south so fast.
It sounds racist.
Yeah.
Is there no way he could have taken it as a compliment?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't just say, are you a Negro?
See, this is what I'm saying.
Are you the Negro of the Galaxy?
This is what I'm saying, is Bean has no idea how people will receive what he's saying.
Wow. Look. Look,
if there's there's no defense. You should keep your trap shut.
If it had unfolded more slowly, of course I would have chosen my words better. Of course I would have made it clearer that I was referring to his social media handle. But as you said, Kevin, he whipped by us on that scooter in like one
right,
second.
Right, fast enough that there's no way you could ID him. As our listener on Twitter, there's no way you could look at him and go, hey, that's our listener on Twitter. He was past you. And you just shouted it out. It was like a reflex. There was nothing you could do about it.
If you're asking if I would like to take it back, yes I would. Yes, I would. And it turned out that our listener wasn't there at all. Mm-hmm. This guy wasn't him. So
right.
I misjudged the moment. I feel like an asshole. Okay. I misjudged the moment.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Do we have time real quick to throw Omar's wife under the bus?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Because apparently there's one in every crowd who is overserved at a comedy event and screams from the audience. And we apologize to everybody who is sitting next to Cassie.
Yeah, totally. She's a school teacher and she doesn't get out much. And I was driving home. So she and her buddies, when they get together, they let loose.
Yeah.
Okay. So during Adam Ray's set, they thought it'd be a good idea to start screaming, take it off! Take it off! Okay?
And they, very attractive.
In their heads, by the way, they're thinking, we're not loud enough for Adam to hear us.
Sure.
So they don't realize that Adam's like thrown off by what's happening.
He heard something but didn't know what it was.
Exactly.
But he stops for a second and glances around like, what was just shouted?
Right, exactly. And there's other girls like in the back rows kind of egging my wife and her friends off. And then they go
on,
out and...
On. Egging them
sorry,
on.
Sorry, yeah. my bad. And so they... So then they kind of stop down and they go get a drink, okay?
Oh, good.
Later on...
That's what they needed.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So later on in the evening, I find out from producer Dave that there's this fancy downstairs area where you need this special pass that I have, but they don't. Mm-hmm. So... this is after the show, and I was like, hey, Kaz, you guys want to go hang out down there?
So I put this on you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you should say, I don't have any passes.
Well, no. But so I go down there, Kazzy gets down there. As me and Kazzy are walking up, Dave's talking to Adam Ray. And Adam Ray's telling Dave, hey, man, yeah, there was this chick in the audience. I don't know what she was saying or whatever. And I was like, wait, whoa. That's my wife!
Yeah.
So then so I had to go take care of some business. And then, keep in mind, my wife is really drunk, right?
Uh-huh.
So I come back, and my wife
is living with Adam Ray now.
Well, she's like, you know, like, I like trying to kiss Adam Ray. Well, they were posing for a picture. But I was just like, yeah. I was like,
no.
When I walked in, I'm like, what is happening?
So she explained to Adam that it was her.
Exactly.
He was fine with it. They were taking pictures.
Well, yeah, she was just.
She's the best.
Sloppy drunk. Yeah, the best.
I love sloppy drunk Cassie.
So that was a few moments from Friday night's April Foolishness.
But the rap battle, you guys.
Oh, yes.
Next hour, we got to get into that.
Bam, did
that
you get your Thug Life tattoo now?
I sure did.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
All the details you need to know on the K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019 coming up in about 20 minutes or so from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. And it's Monday morning. That means great news all straight ahead. First, Allie is here with what's happening.
Well, we've talked about how Avengers Endgame shattered records. $1.2 billion opening worldwide and, you know, just currently estimated at about $350 million so far domestically. Not a bad opening, right?
I mean, maybe one of the best ever?
Yeah. Okay. We talked about...
I don't see how it can't end up being the biggest movie of all time.
Yeah, agreed.
Because isn't Avatar, which is at the top right now, isn't it only a little over $2
billion? Sure.
Don't know.
Okay.
Yes.
I do know this, though. Went, saw it, got most of it, but I'm looking forward to seeing it again because I'm sure I didn't get all...
Yeah, because 3 hours isn't enough. Got to do six. Got to do six.
But I'm saying a lot of people who saw it once probably go back. So I can't imagine how this won't be the biggest movie of all time.
And you mentioned at the beginning that the guy at the movie theater said, listen, no spoilers as you're leaving. Let's have everybody experience this just like you'd want to.
That's so annoying that people would walk out of a theater and yell spoilers while people were coming into the theater.
That's what people are doing. And a guy in Hong Kong was beat up over it. And I'm sure other people were beat up. We just haven't heard about it. But what if you're Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy, you've got 730,000 Twitter followers, and you decide on Friday, which is really the night it came out, because a lot of people did see it Thursday night, but Friday is officially the opening. Just hours after it was released, he blasted on social media that he was unhappy. I'm not going to say what he was unhappy with, but he said, the worst day ever. Me and Lil Shady are hurt. And then went on to describe why and tweeted a video explaining why he thought certain characters shouldn't have ended up the way they did and said the ending should have been so much different. Here's why. Full video accompanying this tweet.
I'm more interested in who Lil Shady is.
I assume his kid. I assume.
But let me ask you this. Was this something that there were no spoilers unless you chose to click on the video?
No. It was in his actual wording of the tweet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Not only was this tweet seen by his 730,000 Twitter followers, others saw it accidentally, including Bills fans who were just looking for News Friday about the NFL draft.
Right.
They were like, maybe he's tweeted about the draft. Oh, no! I mean, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
That is not cool, dude. Not cool.
I mean, there was a lot of talk ahead of time about no spoilers.
Yeah.
A lot. Everyone had to have heard that.
Yeah, it had its own hashtag.
Murder. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The writers, the directors, everyone was saying, please don't ruin this for people. People are weird, right?
Yeah.
By the way, Taylor Swift opening the 2019 Billboard Music Awards with her new single, Me. Taylor and Panic at the Disco frontman Brendon Urie will be kicking off the award show with their first ever TV performance of the song. They're going to take place on Wednesday in Las Vegas, airing live on NBC. The Billboard Music Awards also features performances from Ciara, Dan and Shay, Madonna, BTS and Halsey, the Jonas Brothers, Kelly Clarkson, and Mariah Carey will be receiving the 2019 Icon Award during the ceremony.
I didn't hear a thing in that list that makes me want to watch that show.
Hey, it's Taylor Swift. You're listening to the
Kevin and Bean Show. How did she have time to do that?
That Me video, which set all sorts of Vivo records for first 24 hours, she introduces her new cat, okay? She's got a new cat. She's got a third cat named Benjamin Button.
This just
and the only reason I bring it up, I know you guys don't care. The only reason I bring it up is some of the reaction videos from the hardcore crazy Taylor Swift fans about her getting a new cat are really funny. Here's one.
No way! Yes! Did she get another cat?
I hate that person. I don't know who that person is, but I hate her.
When that girl ends up in college, they should play that on her first day and show all of her friends.
I pulled that because I knew how much you would enjoy it.
So her cat, Benjamin Button, joins Olivia Benson and Meredith Grey, two cats. Now, Bean, you have a t-shirt with Olivia and Meredith on it. Is that now outdated to you? You need to get one with all three?
Well, just like when your football player retires or gets traded, you still wear the jersey. You still remember the good years. So, I can still wear my Olivia and Meredith, but I'm hoping there'll be some Benjamin Button merchandise coming soon.
Of course.
I need to update.
I mean, at least for you and that girl. Play her again.
She's the best.
Oh, my God. way! Yes! Did you get another cat?
So this cat was used in the video, and Taylor just fell in love with it, so adopted it. So now she is a crazy cat lady.
I'm going to take it back and say, after hearing it the second time, I don't hate her. She's so full of joy.
I love it. I love it so much.
She's so happy. I don't want to hang out with her.
Cat.
I don't want to hang out with her, but I love that she's so happy.
Imagine being so invested in a person you don't know getting a new pet.
Yeah, Bean.
Late night for daddy. Okay.
Some birthdays for you guys. We've got Jerry Seinfeld, Uma Thurman, Michelle Pfeiffer, Willie Nelson, Daniel Day-Lewis, and from Wilson Phillips, Carney Wilson. Some day somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye.
Until then, Ellie is not only mouthing the song, but she knows every dance step.
I want to get into Jensen's turf here, but I'm going to just say it. That's a bop.
Oh, yeah. That's a certified bop.
That is a bop.
That's good. Oh, it reminds me of Bridesmaids, too. Mm-hmm. One of the best ever.
Yeah, that's right. I think we're allowed to say this much. The K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau is coming to the beach. Coming to the beach. We'll have all the details and more coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. First, though, Mondays on K-Rock means great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for
All right, Allie, don't make it weird.
I won't make it weird. You're going to make it weird.
Says the guy who's going to make it weird.
Don't make it weird, you guys. Listen, Mondays stink. We know this. Why not share some goodness, some stories that don't make the news? Because really, we're all about if it bleeds, it leads. That's some news lingo.
That was good.
Everyone, thank you. But this is a lovely story about a young man named Jamario Howard and his two friends, J. Michael Baker and Tay Knight. They went to grab some lunch at Brad's Barbecue in Oxford, Alabama. And during their meal, Jamario looked over, noticed an elderly woman eating all by herself, and the sight of her dining alone just broke his heart. He felt this instant sense of empathy. What he couldn't tell just by looking at her was the woman, Eleanor, was recently widowed. She was there eating at Brad's Barbecue on the day before what would have been her and her husband's 60th wedding anniversary.
Whoa.
So he doesn't know anything about this, but he walked over, said, "Hey, would you like some company? My friends and I..." No, don't. No, 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 no. Turn it down. Turn it down. Turn it down.
I don't think that's down.
How many guys are at his party?
I'm going to wait.
Come on, Ellie.
They sat, chatted with this woman. Okay.
Just kidding.
Come on. Chatted with her, found out all about her life, how she had lost her husband, and just had a really wonderful time talking to her, just really making a difference in what could have been a very sad evening for this woman. And they're staying in touch, vowing to get together every now and then. And here's a little bit of what they had to say.
They have all vowed to make room for one another. And certainly, if Eleanor's right, that God played any role in this, it may be to remind us of the joy that awaits just outside the bubbles we live in.
I used to say when I was younger, and I still say today, like, I'm going to change the world somehow. And I don't know how. Because I'm not rich, I'm not famous, and I'm not very smart either, so I can't be the president. But we can show the world that it's all right to be kind, and then before long, maybe the world will be a much better place.
Oh, I love him so much.
That's all most of us can do.
Yeah. He also put on Facebook, he said, "The point in this is always be kind and be nice to people. You never know what they're going through. This woman changed my outlook on life and how I look at other people. Everyone has a story, so don't judge. And people, I can't stress this enough, go see your mom and your grandparents. They miss you." So to Jamario Howard and his two friends, and to Eleanor, that is my great news.
I wasn't ready.
That is my
music, it's not Seinfeld.
We get it.
That is my great news.
Close enough, right?
All right.
For government work. Mine is an Illinois man who has two reasons to feel lucky. He got pulled over by a cop on his way to a job interview. And he was driving in Illinois. He allegedly had expired plates. He was also driving with a suspended driver's license. And he was in a borrowed car. Mm. So the cop pulls him over. Baldwin tells the officer he was on his way to a job interview and he didn't have any other way to get there. So the officer, who could have written several tickets and had the car towed and had him arrested for driving with a suspended driver's license, followed Baldwin while he dropped off his car in a safe place and then drove him to his interview for his second job.
Wow.
The police officer took him to his interview. And he said, the man said, I was a few minutes late, but I made it. I was really grateful. I'm thankful that I made it to the interview and I got the job. And here's what the officer had to say.
He was polite when I pulled him over and seemed like a good young man. So I wanted to give him a chance. Knew if I gave him a bunch of tickets and towed his car, you know, it'd be tough to recover from.
Thank you. Thank you for not writing me tickets. Thank you for not taking me to jail or taking the car, because the outcome could have been totally different from what it was. I just want to say thank you.
And I thought that was very sweet.
Yeah.
Instead of, I mean, he 100% deserved the tickets. Mm-hmm. But the cop said, no, I'm going to take you to your job interview. And he got the job and all were happy. And that's my great news.
It's pretty great news, you guys. Hey, David Green is the man on my great news. He's a history teacher at May Jamison High School in Huntsville, Alabama. He and his wife have a beautiful 16-month-old daughter who has been diagnosed with cancer. She has acute lymphoblastic leukemia, diagnosed 6 months ago. She's been going through treatment ever since then. She still has 3 or 4 months of inpatient treatment and will be getting some form of treatment for the next 2 years.
Maybe.
The reason this story makes great news is because the father only, like many teachers in America, only gets 1 sick day per month, which does not give him the opportunity to be with his daughter very often when she gets her treatment. So the teachers, fellow teachers at the school in Huntsville, Alabama, all chipped in and contributed their very infrequent sick days to the couple to the tune of over 100 days.
Wow.
The school got together and said, hey, let's help our fellow teacher out so that he can take those days off to go and be with his daughter when she undergoes treatment.
Was he just a lousy teacher and they wanted to get rid of him?
No, doesn't say that here.
I'm just asking.
We were blown away with the response that we received with the sick days. We were just hoping we could get a couple days so we could be with, you know, so I could be with her once a week. It's a huge blessing. We can't wait till we're in a position to give back and help others. One of the teachers said, I just can't imagine having a kid with cancer like that and not being able to be with, you know, with that person. So we'll do everything we can to help. I just find that is just remarkable that somebody would give up their own days off. Basically,
agreed,
to help somebody else. So fingers crossed that the little girl gets better, but that's a wonderful outreach from that family in Huntsville, Alabama. 2 out of our 3 stories were from Alabama today, by the way. What's going on down there?
Great people.
A lot of nice people in the world, you guys. A lot of great people in the world. A lot of... All right, you guys, are we wetty?
We're wetty.
Are we wetty?
Let's do it.
I don't feel wetty.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Ah, it's wild and wonderful when 10,000 kids feed on 5,000 beach blankets.
K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019.
Saturday, June 8th. Beautiful Doheny State Beach in Dana Point.
We're bringing the Weenie Roast back to the OC.
Bring sunscreen, a towel, and hang out with K-Rock on the grass by the beach for a full day of live music with...
The stage is turning. Here they are, the Lumineers. Please welcome the Lumineers.
The Lumineers.
Ophelia, you've been on my mind.
Watch it now.
All right, I want to see everybody jumping up and down. You ready?
Please welcome 311.
K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019.
Silver Sun Pickup.
The Revivalists. Catfish and the Bottlemen. Ex-Ambassadors. Flora Cash. Intel. The Regress.
Watusi Dancing Girls from Hollywood's famed Whiskey A Go Go Nightclub.
K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019.
I think it's kind of groovy.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team pre-sale Thursday at 10 a.m.
Proceeds benefit the California Coastal Commission, Heal the Bay, and the Surf Rider Foundation.
From your Southern California Volkswagen dealers.
All right. First time we're doing it on the beach.
I'm very excited about that. And that makes all the sense in the world that it's a luau this time around, right? K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019, June 8th, Ohini State Beach in Dana Point. As you heard, the Lumineers, 311, Silver Sun Pickups, the Revivalist, Catfish and the Bottlemen. One of my favorites. I'm so happy that ex-ambassadors are back on the grill this year. A couple of new ones out of Sweden, Flora Cash and Smith & Tell, and the Regrets, who are so much fun. By the way, you're going to love seeing them live. And if you missed the fine print there, you can sign up at krock.com. Make sure you're a member of the street team and get the exclusive pre-sale starting Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Tickets go on sale to the public Friday at 10 a.m. through frontgatetickets.com. You can get all the details at krock.com. Kevin, you want to break down how the fees work this year?
No, I was not prepared to do that.
Oh, I thought you had the paperwork right there.
I mean, I do, but there's a lot of little print. It's $99.
Okay. It's general admission, $99.
Right.
Yes.
And then $199 for VIP.
For VIP, yes.
And that is worth spotlighting because you not only get the best view of the stage, obviously, you get a comfortable seating area. There's a VIP bar, private restrooms, convenient food options, dedicated merch stand. I mean, that is the very definition of VIP. So general admission tickets for $99, VIP tickets for $199. It's going to be an amazing day at the beach. The date, again, is June 8th. Pre-sale this Thursday, on sale this Friday. Let's hit it one more time, shall we?
It's wild and wonderful when 10,000 kids beat on 5,000 beach blankets.
K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019.
Saturday, June 8th.
Beautiful Doheny State Beach in Dana Point.
We're bringing the Weenie Roast back to the OC.
Bring sunscreen, a towel, and hang out with K-Rock on the grass by the beach for a full day of live music. With
the stage is turning.
Here they are, the Lumineers.
Please welcome the Lumineers.
The Lumineers.
Ophelia, you've been on my mind. Since the flood,
I belong to you. You belong to me, my sweetheart.
Gloria.
Oh, Angela, spent your whole life running away.
Watch it now.
All right, I want to see everybody jumping up and down. You ready?
Please welcome 311.
K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019.
Silver Sun Pickups. The Revivalists. Catfish and the Bottlemen. Ex-Ambassadors. Flora Cash.
Watusi Dancing Girls from Hollywood's famed Whiskey A Go Go Nightclub.
K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019.
I think it's kind of groovy.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team pre-sale Thursday at 10 a.m.
Proceeds benefit the California Coastal Commission, Heal the Bay, and the Surf Rider Foundation.
From your Southern California.
If your alarm just went off during that song, you don't know what all the hoopla is about. It's that the Lumineers are headlining this year's K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019 with this coming up fast June 8th at Doheny. This is on the beach for the first time ever, you guys. In Dana Point, we're so excited to be down there. 311 also on the bill. Silver Sun Pickups, who kill every time they play the Weenie Roast.
Yeah, agreed.
May I just say that? They are so great live. The Revivalists, Catfish and the Bottlemen, Ex-Ambassadors, Flora Cash, Smith & Tell, and the Regrets. That's the lineup with the pre-sale Thursday morning at 10 a.m. And then you can buy them if you're not a member of the street team. The public on sale is Friday morning at 10 a.m. Proceeds this year benefit Heal the Bay and the Surf Rider Foundation, along with the Doheny State Beach Interpretive Association. It's a great Southern California event, the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Happy to make the luau come back this time and have it on the beach, so you definitely want to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Friday night we had our April Foolishness, and Jensen came up with a great idea of us doing a battle rap.
It's something I've wanted to do for a long time.
Before you even joined the show,
yes,
we had this conversation.
Kevin versus Bean. And I didn't expect a lot from it. I expected a lot of fun from it, Right. But I think you shocked, what, 55,000 to 6,000 people on Friday night? 6,000 people?
Do you think we shocked them?
Shocked them by how bad we were.
No.
Not at all, you guys.
I genuinely believe, and you got a standing ovation before, I mean, you'll hear how it plays out at the end, but even before that, people were freaking out about how good it was.
People were being nice. People were being generous.
That's the way I think, too.
No,
that's
what I feel like, too.
Low expectations plays into it.
Correct.
But I do believe you went above and beyond anything anyone would have expected.
Right. But as you said, is this on the tape where he talked about the other white people that he's tried to? Okay.
No.
As you said to the audience before you brought us out, on your Drop the Mic show on TBS and TNT. You said you have had people like Helen Mirren and Dr. Phil, people like that. Yet we're still the whitest people you've ever tried to teach how to rap.
Yeah, we're number one.
Walking into it, you were the most Caucasian two I've ever had to work with. But walking out of it, Joshua Silverstein, who was there, he's our beatboxer from the show, and he was able
to do
April Foolishness, the most talented. Him and I, after the first rehearsal, looked at each other and went, well, that's good. We didn't. I mean, normally we'd be out there for 6-7 tries.
But I know. Then we had a second rehearsal, and I did everything wrong, and that's what made me so nervous.
But you guys did great.
Okay, let's play it. This is Jensen. Now he comes out on the stage, and he's getting a feeling for who the crowd thinks is going to win, Bean or me.
We are very excited. How many of you guys think Kevin is going to win?
Yeah.
How many of you think Bean is going to win? Oh shit.
Hey, I just want to say that crowd reaction was bullshit.
You know what? You haven't been introduced.
Bullshit.
You haven't been introduced.
Right. Hold on a second. I just want to add.
You haven't been introduced.
I just want to add. Keep doing what you're doing, people.
You haven't been introduced.
I was.
I love that so
much.
I
was backstage.
I thought Bean would get a bigger reaction. I was pretty surprised at how much bigger it was.
It was a lot.
It was sizable, which made me laugh. All right. So then,
by the way, I had my money on Kevin all the way.
I don't know. I think most of the world heard both you guys rap, and they heard you go at Chip, and they were like, that's the battle. So I don't think that was – I think people were in their heads about Bean.
All right. This is Bean's first verse.
Joshua, give me a beat, my friend. It makes no sense that Kevin has back pain because I've been carrying his ass now for 3 decades. I've often stared at Kevin and quietly wondered why he has that big a head, yet nothing inside. You thought Boston was a state and kale was fish. There's so much you don't know, your whole life's a moment with. I think you know you think you'll win without papers, that's all you need. But how are you going to rap when we all know you can't read? Oh,
I mean, very good.
Mm-hmm. Listen to Joshua, by the way, DJ Joshua. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's like dropping
bombs. And that
made
it so much easier for us because he was able, when we got ahead or got behind, he was able to adjust live on the fly instead of us doing it to a pre-recorded track where we would just be lost.
Yeah, but you still were almost on post the whole time.
Almost.
Yeah, it was there.
All right, then my verse.
Joshua, give me a beat. For the past 30 years, Bean always made me laugh. Not his jokes, but the fact that he's an autistic psychopath. He tried to act human, but he always fails. He's an adult male who puts his hair in pigtails. He moved from L.A. to Seattle to New Orleans. It's not easy cleaning blood from all of your crime scenes. But he's got a great wife that's always by his side. I think I speak for everyone when I say, is she blind? Oh, s***. Oh, s***.
So, Allie, you had not heard any of this before. You were hearing it for the first time on stage. And you were out there as my hype man, by the way. Allie was out there with a towel wiping me down.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody from the Kevin and Bean show.
Yes.
All the other DJs.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Stryker and
Klein and Megan. Everybody was there.
Yeah, Doug Benson was out there.
That was really touching to me. Like, I wasn't expecting any of that.
Posses. You guys had posses.
We had posses. I mean, for the first time ever.
What did you think after the first round, Allie?
I was blown away, completely blown away, and I had no idea what was coming. Because
by
what?
The way, we cut out the second verse probably
because
of that.
Oh, okay. The second verse was amazing.
There is a line that explains how white Kevin is.
Yeah.
Her language is a little rough.
Yeah, it involves mayonnaise coming out of somewhere.
All right.
So
I do think they are editing this together, and they're going to put up proper video and audio up at krock.com. I think maybe even later today you'll be able to see the whole thing, and it's a lot of fun to actually watch.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But yeah, there's a couple of things in each of our verses that we really can't play on the radio.
They're
so.
Kill lines for sure.
They are fatalities.
Yeah. We were
digging
grace at that point.
You watch hockey and soccer every single night. Maybe it's time to check out a sport America likes. The way you broadcast sounds like a joke. You have the skills of Dick Clark, but after the stroke. Behind the boards is where you do your best. Forgetting to turn on mics and hanging up on guests. Feel bad for Kevin because he's losing me soon. And that's how you drop the mic. Sickle, penis, boom!
The excitement of sickle penis.
Oh, he was very excited with that.
It's great.
Yeah, and then my final comeback.
Give me a beat, Joshua. Gene keeps his donkey's balls after they take him out. He also has Weird Al's, but those are in his mouth. Mr. Bad Example has never had sex. He just off listening to KNX. But in truth, you're a legend of L.A. rock who is stuck with a partner who can barely talk. Bean hates attention and being reversed, so let's give a standing O for 30 years of greatness. Come on, people, stand up. 30 years.
Gunshots.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a belt.
Who knew that?
Kiss.
I tried to kiss, but Bean pulled away.
Yeah, you guys did get a cheek kiss.
It was almost a Me Too moment.
But that was beautiful, it was though, really Kevin. Nice. What a nice way to end it.
Bean really, he can't take praise.
I hate it.
Right.
It was enormously touching, though. And like you said, you had me cornered. There's nothing I can do about it. There's no place I could run.
I did have a word that rhymed instead of greatness, but
revered.
I had no idea.
Revered. And then years.
Years, right.
But it worked out so well.
Somehow I came up with greatness. It's also, the only thing I thought.
But for reals, thinking on your toes like that was pretty good. I was shocked. I was like, oh, he missed that line. And then you nailed it in the end. It's pretty good.
You said reversed instead of revered, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, he said reversed.
Oh, I did hear that. Okay, yeah. I thought that.
Yeah.
It was very sweet and very unexpected, and I had no idea when Dave ran out with an actual, like, WWE-style belt.
Yeah, there's, like, holograms on it of your faces. Yeah. It's actually pretty serious.
It's amazing.
It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
But and it was very sweet to see the crowd
standing up.
Jump to their feet to applaud Bean.
There was a standing in the verse before as well. Like, it was
very touching.
They were all very into it.
Like we said earlier, our fans are the absolute best. But I also don't want to end this segment without saying that, A, this entire thing was Jensen's idea.
Oh, well, thanks.
B, Jensen took the tiny little germs of ideas that we had for our individual raps and molded them into something that was usable.
I spent an hour writing mine, and then I sent it to Jensen, and he sent it back in like 3 minutes, and it was so much better.
It'd be incredible, right? Same thing with me. Mine sucked to begin with, and he made it really good. And then, without you out there, hosting the thing, being the hype man and everything like that, and bringing Josh down, and made all the difference in the world. I mean, that was all you.
Well, it was very, very fun. I had joked before, they played a video where, you know, a couple celebrities and stuff gave their opinions as to who was going to win. And I jokingly was like, you know, I don't know who's going to win, but we know the big loser here is hip hop. But I think you guys really did the show well. And everyone we saw walking out was like, the battle.
Amazing.
It was a huge
highlight.
So be excited for yourself.
Kiss.
It's a long kiss.
I just want to say again, the audience was there to have a good time. From minute one, Jordan Conley, we should also mention, by the way, our opening act comedian, who you voted on the internet last week, he came out and it wasn't an uphill battle for him. They were with him from the first joke.
Mm-hmm.
The whole night, we heard from so many comedians. You know, Jamie Lee came off stage and said it. Craig Fitzsimmons said it. This audience is great tonight. It was a really hot crowd. And they were just there to have a great time, and they really got into that rap battle. And we were just so happy that everybody enjoyed themselves so much.
Yep.
So
you guys,
thank you to all of you.
Yeah, when does the mixtape drop?
We're working on that. Okay, sometime in 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is 311. They are playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast in Luau 2019, June 8th, at the beach for the first time, Doheny State Beach in Dana Point. And we're going to be playing bands that are going to be playing that all morning long here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Fantastic. By the way, I wouldn't want to pick a favorite among the comedians that played our April Foolishness on Friday night. It'd be very difficult to pick a favorite because I felt like everybody killed.
Yeah.
But Felipe Esparza, you guys.
Good
God. He owned that room.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
He could have kept going. Like, throughout, for 2 more hours, people would have been stoked.
Well, the good news is he's coming back to town at the Microsoft Theater in October. So Felipe is in the green room. He'll be joining us in our studio coming up right after the top of the hour. Allie's here first, though. Time for What's Happening on a Monday.
Can I just say how nice Felipe is?
Yeah.
He's, you know, done with the show. He's in his green room with his wife, couple friends. And I knocked on the door and I said, hi, my friend Cynthia, she did comedy with you a while ago. Can you come into that, you know, whatever that room is?
Game room?
Game room.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, no problem. I'll do it. And I said, oh, good. Her name's Cynthia. And he goes, oh, I came up with her. And he was so awesome to leave what was probably a relaxing time for him after the show and just hung out with my friend Cynthia, who he's known forever, for like 20 minutes, just chit-chatting. What a guy is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Felipe Esparza.
We should have him in.
We should. We should definitely have him
in. That'd
be great. Chip, I'm sorry to bring you this news.
No.
I know that you're a huge Timothy Olyphant fan. You just started watching Justified, which I appreciate about Chip, a show that ended 4 years ago.
Probably.
Whatever. She was also a fan of the Santa Clarita Diet, the Zomcom, if you will. You know, Drew Barrymore, real estate broker, transforms into a zombie. Timothy Olyphant, her husband.
What's going on?
It's been canceled by Netflix after three seasons. I'm sorry,
racism.
Chip.
I don't think
it's don't know if it's racism.
I haven't watched any of the third season yet.
Okay.
You
right.
are to blame,
right? Well, that's your fault then.
And with the way you're watching stuff, maybe 2024.
I'll see it in 5 years.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. So,
when Chip gets to The Wire, man, she is going to love it.
Funny you should mention The Wire. Because Idris Elba is officially off the market, you guys.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
I thought I had next, but apparently not.
Mm-mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
There goes my shot.
Well, he got engaged in February of 2018 to his long-time girlfriend, Sabrina. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Dowry, maybe?
Sure.
But he got married on Friday at a hotel in Marrakesh, Morocco.
Huh.
There were camels, there were dancers, and there was a ton of dancing. How fun would an Idris Elba wedding be?
Did he DJ his own wedding?
I hope he did.
Good question.
He got quite the price. I like it. I like it a lot. Oh, Idris Elba. You all caught up on Luther? You watching the next season? Is it out here in America yet?
I don't think it is. I don't think so.
Allie has some weird cable box that lets her watch things from other countries, and she says it in such a pompous way. She goes, is it here in America yet?
I did. I really did. It was gross.
Have they shown it here in America yet?
I'm just saying.
She watches shows from the future.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, stuff that hasn't even been made yet, she's already seen.
Last season
was two episodes.
She's like, Avatar 2's okay. It gets better at 3. Have they shown it in this country yet?
A little bit. That was kind of gross. Mm. Yeah.
The Barry finale. Pretty good. Pretty good. You'll get very excited when they show it here in America.
I will say this about Barry last night, because apparently Game of Thrones was just... Well, it's interesting, because people either said that Game of Thrones was the best they've ever seen, mm-hmm. or people were really let down by it. It was a very bizarre grouping of people.
It does seem like people think it was too dark.
I enjoy the fact that they taught us what it's like to be blind.
Oh, because
while watching that show.
It literally was too dark.
Yeah, not thematically.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, for half of the episodes, see almost anything that's going on.
Because they were battling in the trenches,
yes.
and there was no light. But literally, they didn't feel the need to light it up at all?
At all.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a bit dark.
Well, I'll say this. People were like, how's Barry going to follow that up? Because it's on right after Game of Thrones. If you don't watch Barry,
it's great.
You wouldn't know that. Oh, did they follow it up? It was such a great episode.
I don't think it's a competition, though, is it?
It isn't a competition, but people were like, oh, what's Barry going to do? And by people, my friend Katie Nolan did that. And I'm like, I'm going to fight you. And her response back on Twitter was, I'm just saying, it's a tough act to follow. And then I felt bad that I said I was going to fight her. So I said, oh, no, I wasn't referencing either of the shows. I just got new gloves.
The mood to fight.
Very
I'm gonna
random.
Have Alicia Silverstone play you in the movie of that story.
Are you? You've already sold it.
I just sold it. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jensen.
That happened fast.
Yeah.
I hate you. You guys, coming up, I'm gonna tell you about a specific number that Jeopardy producers have stripped contestants of their God-given right to bet on Final Jeopardy. A specific number. I'm just gonna say right now, it is not nice.
Really,
Jeopardy. Nice. It is not nice. What you have done. But AV Club did an article that might be one of the funniest things I've ever read. Wow. Because they took it to heart and they are not pleased. All that story nice. Coming up. Thank you.
Do you care?
I do. Happy birthday, Michelle Pfeiffer, Jerry Seinfeld, Daniel Day-Lewis, Willie Nelson, Uma Thurman, and Carney Wilson. We don't need to hear it now. I guess. All right. What just happened?
It's a jam.
More?
That's what's happening.
That is one of the bands that's going to be playing with us on June 8th at Doheny. We're talking about the K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019, 311, performing that night along with the Lumineers, Silver Sun Pickups, the Revivalists, and much, much more. Get all the details at KROQ.com, including how to buy your tickets on Thursday as a member of the K-Rock Street Team. This is a busy time of year here at K-Rock. We just came off of April Foolishness, going right into Weenie Roast season. But speaking of foolishness, Felipe Esparza's in here, you guys.
What's up? Right. Kevin and Bean, what's up, boo?
How you doing, Felipe?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you.
We were just talking right as you sat down about we know what a great time we had Friday night. It sounds like you had fun, too.
I had a great time, man. I was kind of nervous at first all week about the show. You know, like, because a big crowd, yeah. A lot of great comics, you know. And I don't see too many of these comedians, you know, so it was awesome to see Adam Ray. Mm-hmm. You know, he was cool. As soon as I saw him, man, he gave me a look, you know, and I felt comfortable, you know, like, you get that camaraderie, you know, when you mm-hmm. see the comedians.
I didn't think about that, but none of the comedians probably ever see any of the other headliners.
We see each other, like, crossing each other's airports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was in Chicago, and a lot of comedians were coming from the road, and I was just hanging there with Bill Burr, Brad Williams, and I think D.L. Hughley was hanging out with us.
Oh,
and,
wow.
It's not the same as seeing them perform comedy,
and the Dice Man.
Really?
Yeah, and my friend, really? My wow. friend Rodrigo Torres, he's like my co-host of the What's Up Food podcast, mm-hmm. he played a practical joke on Andrew Dice Clay. And I was like, are you, like, my friend's not even at the same level as these comics. But he got on the PA system, and he said Andrew Dice Clay's real name, Andrew Silverstein.
Right.
Please come to the please come to Gate 5. So they're yelling at them, Andrew Silverstein, Andrew Silverstein. And then the Dice Man is freaking out. Hey, are they taking away my miles? What's going on here?
And was it just to see all of you guys there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was funny, man. After he looked at my friend like he was going to kill him. And, you know, when I play a practical joke, you're going to remember it.
Nice.
It's a great impression.
Felipe, how common are... Because the comedians that we know, that we interact with a lot, including several names on Friday night, they all seem to be so friendly with one another and root for one another. There must be feuds in comedy too, though, right?
Well, there's a lot of feuds, you know, but like there's a lot of feuds in the black comedians, you know, but not as noticeable. A lot of feuds in the Latino community.
There is.
But there's a lot of feuds in the white comedians, too. But white comedians, they work in silence, you know? Like, if they come at you, it's like you don't really notice, you know?
Like, so they're worse at it?
Like, I've heard that big comedians, like, they'll have, like, who are going to be in a movie, they'll have, like, the comedians that he don't like come to audition just so they could get rejected.
No!
Really?
Oh, that's so dark.
Because it seems to us doing April Foolishness that everybody just gets along so well.
Yeah.
Everybody's and it's like a reunion backstage, yeah. you know?
Yeah, but most of the guys on the show are the nice group of the mm-hmm. comedians, you know? Eddie Ift, if you don't like him, you must have a problem.
Yeah, he's right. a nice
you know,
guy.
Craig Simmons, too. Him. If you have a problem with that guy, you have a problem.
Craig Fitzsimmons is a good dude. Yeah.
Have you ever had a feud with another comedian?
Oh, yeah, man. I've had a bunch of feuds. I had a feud with a comedian one time because... you know, this guy was doing a lot of like, he was successful. He was, like, the voice of a lot of cartoons. And one night he's drunk, and then, like, he's bragging about, I made $450,000 last night, or last year. And I was like, wow, I made $9,800, tax-free. And I'm funnier than you.
But you're just joking, right?
Yeah, I'm funnier than you. And I think your wife wants to sleep with me.
Oh, wow.
It escalated quickly.
And then he threw a drink in my face.
Oh.
And I chased him around the club. And
This is real?
Yeah.
I didn't give anything to have video of you chasing him around the club.
I was so drunk. I think they told me I was barefoot, too, because I was wearing sandals.
Oh, no.
So we got this ugly-ass machete-looking guy chasing a comedian. And it never works out when two comedians fight because you both get banned.
Oh, yeah.
I would just like to say that you just said that you were told you were barefoot. That makes me laugh.
Yeah, I was told.
You don't remember. Somebody told you afterwards.
Felipe Esparza here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He was one of the great entertainers at the Microsoft Theater this Friday night. He is here today to announce another show at the Microsoft Theater where he is headlining. Well-deserved. Ali was saying earlier, man, the audience was sad to see you leave the stage after your 20 minutes. So they get a chance to come back and see the whole show. It's going to be Friday, October the 4th at the Microsoft Theater. You can get the pre-sale code at krock.com. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 a.m. from AXS.com. See the great Felipe Esparza at the Microsoft Theater. Now, Felipe, you mentioned you were drunk that night. You get drunk still?
No, I'm sober now. I've been having
completely sober, right?
Yes. I've been drank since 2009.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
That's great.
Now, was that tough in your line of work
at
the beginning? Because every night you're around alcohol.
It's tough for any comedian that's trying to stop drinking or trying to lose weight. Because we get a free meal and a drink wherever we go.
Yeah. Basically, that's your life.
Or sometimes,
meal and drink.
Yeah, you go to shady clubs where the owner just looks at you and goes, anything you want. I don't want you to get arrested trying to find anything. I got it. Let me know. I'll make a phone call.
Wow.
So they're he's just trying to make sure you're going to be at the shows.
Right.
And he doesn't want you to get arrested trying to find crack in Detroit.
So he'll go out and get it?
When I was a drug addict, I knew how to find drugs. I would ask the police officer.
I'm sorry?
I would ask the police officer where the drugs are.
That
I would
just tell a wise move.
I would tell him, listen, officer, my name is Felipe Esparza. I'm a convicted criminal. I am on parole. I'm here to do a comedy show. I need to avoid gangs. I need to avoid drug neighborhoods. I need to avoid any bad element. So if you could tell me what neighborhoods to avoid, I won't go there.
So smart.
Genius.
And then he'll catch me there at 3 a.m. with no t-shirt. I got lost. Drive me back to the Motel 6.
Did you have a low point that turned it around for you where you were like, okay, this is it. I seriously got to get help.
I guess, yes, I did. You know, I was doing bad. You know, I was up for I was awake for 5 days.
Oof.
And I was pretty much living at the LA River because I think the drug dealer would show up at 7 a.m. there and leave at noon. And they were dealing out of the river. So, yeah, they were calling me nicknames, you know, the comics. They were calling me, where's Felipe at? He's not going to be here for the show? No, I think he's over there river dancing.
So you just must feel now when you look at your life and you realize, you know, like the show we're talking about, you're headlining the Microsoft Theater, 5,000 plus people. You must feel like so blessed to have come through and be out on the other side and be as healthy and as happy as you are.
Yes, I feel very blessed, you know, fortunate, you know, that I can also make that bad side into humor. I know how to make it funny.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that I said on stage on Friday was true. And that's part of the material that I'm doing on the new tour.
Mm-hmm.
Not really like trying to write jokes, but trying to find funny moments in my drug addiction to make it funny.
It is weird that as a comedian, you can take horrible things, horrible situations, and turn it and sort of make it funny. That's amazing.
Is there anything off limits?
No, not for me, but some of these stories are very embarrassing, you know? Like, I try not to... I remember the late Ralphie May.
Mm-hmm.
He knew about one of my stories that really happened, and he tweeted one time, Felipe better not order no spoons or baking soda. And I forgot what that meant, right? But then I remembered, oh, yeah, I ordered a baking soda and a spoon from room service once.
Oh, God,
Felipe. You're almost cartoonish.
And they brought it to my room. A security guard and room service.
A security guard.
And I asked, what'd you bring him for? Oh, he didn't believe me. You ordered this.
Oh, no.
Give it to me. That was my lowest point.
That's fantastic. Like you said,
fantastic.
It's funny now.
Yeah.
Not funny then. Right, exactly. The great Felipe Esparza in city with us here at the Kevin Beach. A quick break. More with him right after this on K-Rock.
And Felipe Esparza is with us in the studio.
Felipe, we have a huge week of comedians here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Scott Aukerman is going to be joining us tomorrow. Brad Williams, Bob Saget on Wednesday, Jimmy Pardo on Thursday, Eddie Izzard on Friday.
made me start to think, do you have any comedy heroes out there that you would be excited to get a photo with? Because we saw Friday night at April Foolishness, everybody wanted to get a picture with Ray Romano.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody wanted to get that photo. Are there people like that that you're hoping to get a picture with?
I want to take a picture with Dave Attell. And then I think we don't have a photo.
Love him.
And I would say, but he's dead now, but Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Dave. I'm like, wait, what?
I think Rodney Dangerfield, I got his autograph once, and I got Chris Rock's autograph. He was very nice. I mean, probably the nicest dude I ever met. Like I learned how to walk into a conversation because Chris Rock wanted to take a friend away from me to go talk to him. Mm-hmm. So he walked up to me and goes, hey, my name is Chris Rock. Hey, what? Hi, Chris Rock. And he goes, my name is this, my name is that. And then he took my friend away. So then now when I walk in, I always introduce myself.
Smart.
Yeah.
So that you can walk off with somebody else?
Yeah.
All right. So I like the plan.
I think
And by Eddie the way, Murphy, Chris Rock does not need to introduce himself.
I know. That was before his first special, the one that blew
was,
up.
Okay.
So I would say, who did I just mention? Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
I'll probably get excited if I take a picture with him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
think sure.
John Ritter, I was nervous. I was working at Dodger Stadium, and John Ritter would come in, and I would want to say hello to him, but I was too nervous. Then I creeped him out. Because I know that he was wearing an alley hat and a beard, trying to be low-key, and I thought he was in the urinal thing.
No.
So I stood next to
Here
him.
We go.
You stood next to him?
And I started, like, humming the Three's Company song.
No!
Come and knock on my door. And then I think he grabbed his penis, squeezed it, I'm going to go pee somewhere else.
No, you stopped the stream?
I get so nervous.
I got to be honest, he made the right choice.
I get nervous, man. Like, I get starstruck still. Like, when I was working at Dodger Stadium.
What did you do there? What did you do at Dodger Stadium?
I was making hot dogs, wrapping hot dogs. I was cooking chicken for Yoshinoya. I was cashier. I was everything
did
there.
Everything.
And Lindsay Wagner came in one day with her two crazy kids. And the Bionic Woman,
sure.
And I was so nervous, man. She shook my hand, and I pretended she was crushing it, and I started melting. And then she just
did
went
she
to
find
another.
That funny?
She went to another stand.
I'm gonna go someplace else where a guy has a strong handshake.
Kevin, don't you have your own urinal story at Dodger Stadium?
I did pee next to Vin Scully.
Uh huh.
And
you had to make small talk, didn't you?
Did you imitate him at least?
It's
time for urinating at Dodger Stadium with Kevin and me.
No,
it's going to be a doozy.
I had to say something. I don't know why that happens. Yeah. Why do you have to say something?
I don't know.
At that moment, I wanted to yell at myself, shut the F up.
Right.
I said, hey, how do you think they're going to do tonight? And he was very kind and talked
to
me. For it seemed like a minute and a half. I was done peeing. I just stood there.
Did you at least pull up?
I waited.
Oh, no.
I waited for Tommy Lasorda by his car when I was little.
Oh.
Because I knew the Dodgers would come out. And then we were walking with him. We were hugging him, joking with him. And we called him Tommy Lasagna. He was joking with us. And I told him, I was telling him, remember the Dodgers lost 99 games one year. You know, mm-hmm. They were in last mm-hmm. place. And Tommy mm-hmm. Lasorda lost a lot of weight also because of Weight Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
He was real thin, Tommy Lasorda.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what happened, Tommy, man? The Dodgers lose 99 games. You lose 99 pounds. I like the skinny Tommy. Bring back Tommy Lasagna.
Did he find that funny?
He came in a numbskull, a pencil neck, something.
How old were you?
I was like 17, 18.
Doing your Lasorda chunk. I love it.
I love it so much. Hey, Felipe, I heard you talking recently about, Ali asked you earlier if there was anything off limits. You were talking recently about how there were some stories you didn't used to like to tell about your mom. And then you decided at some point just to go for it, right?
Yeah.
You just deal with whatever the fallout is from your mom. Because I understand comedians, that's what they do, is they mine their own lives for material. But sometimes you do have to think, oh, man, these are people that are in my life that I love, that are, you know, that I have to care about what they think. What changed where you said, all right, mom, sorry, throwing you under the bus?
Oh, man. There's a joke I talk about how my mom, about child abuse between my mom and dad. And
oh,
then
I
the
assume
kids.
They love that.
And then, like, it was hard because it really happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was a point in my life where my mom and dad got into a fight and you had to pick a side that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose the wrong side. But there was no right side, you know, mom or dad. So I dealt with it. I remember crying about it when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about it It's still sad, but I brought my mom to the show in New York, and I did the joke, and then she laughed, and like she must have forgot it, was maybe more mad.
So you're angrier so she's now because she's laughing.
I'm angry that she didn't remember it, and she's laughing about it like it never happened.
Wow.
But to me, it's like yesterday still, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It still hurts.
That kind
but
of
now
stuff.
It's a big laugh.
It wow. is cathartic, though, for yeah. you, up until she laughed. And you're like, yeah. F you, Ma. But it is
this
cathartic.
This is personal, man.
Is your family pleased that you went into comedy? Is that the life they hoped for you?
My father, he's pleased, you know, but not, when I first started, he didn't get it. He thought that if I should stay, I should stay at UPS and one day be a driver, you know.
Look, they make good money. I can see yeah. a parent not wanting you to go into such a shaky business.
My dad thinks that real life, you know, work applies to Hollywood work, which doesn't work that way. Because mm-hmm. when I first started doing stand-up comedy, he told me that Paul Rodriguez's family from the same state in Mexico that we are from, mm-hmm. Sinaloa, right? So I should go tell Paul Rodriguez to co-sign for me. So I could be famous.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, that's not. You don't get co-sign fame.
Yeah.
You're going to sleep with people.
You have to pick the people that you sleep with carefully.
Yes, indeed.
So I don't know how to do co-sign. Like, so I would see Paul Rodriguez come in to the Laugh Factory like to do a guest set. And I look at him and I go, oh, man, okay. I walked up to somebody. What is the bartender? What does this guy always order when he drinks? He goes, Irish cream coffee. All right. Here's my juice ticket. I don't drink. Give me Irish cream coffee. So I see Paul Rodriguez come in, and I walk up to him like Spider from Goodfellas. Hey, Mr. Paul Rodriguez. He looked at me all weird. Órale, who's this guy? So who's this guy right here? Are you my son? Can we look alike? So I would just give him a little Irish coffee and leave him alone.
That's smart.
And then little by little, I started talking to him, and then he'll tell me little quick jokes. Eventually, I started opening for him.
Wow.
Nice.
He'll pay me mad money.
That's amazing.
And he would play. Now, he it's funny, man. Like, my first time in Reno, I was nervous. I was already nervous, man. And then he calls me up, yelling at me, what is this about you complaining about your room that is too small? There's not enough towels. What is you complaining about this? Hey, man, I wouldn't complain about nothing. You will when you see my room. And he hung up. I was scared and happy. I thought he was going to send me home.
Esparza, you guys, great stand-up comedian. You can get a whole evening with Felipe at the Microsoft Theater on Friday, October 4th. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 a.m. at AXS.com. Presale code at KROQ.com. We're going to give away some tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. Felipe, pick any number between 1 and 100, please.
89.
89 it is. Caller 89, 1-800-520-1067. Win tickets to see Felipe. Hey, listen, before you let you go, thank you a million times over for making that appearance at the April Foolishness on Friday night. I know you've done it once before a few years ago. It was so great to have you back. You killed, my friend, and we are forever in your debt for that. If there's anything we can ever do for you, you let us know, all right?
Thank you, man. No problem. And my tour is called the Bad Hombre Tour.
Bad Hombre Tour.
Because last year, it was a bad decision. I was going to call it the Bad Hombre, but then now people might get offended. So now the Bad Hombre Tour is called the Bad Hunger. Because we're hungry for more. Also,
I
man,
love it so much.
I went to the first ever K-Rock Weenie Rose and the second one. The
is
first
that right?
one was the first one was the K-Rock Acoustic Luau Christmas. No, it was the K-Rock Weenie Rose sing-along.
Luau, right?
And you guys have Frente, the Ramones, Blink. You got Blink 182. It was one of the best concerts I've ever been in my life.
Awesome.
And I started. Well, my little brother started a fire on the top of the lawn.
Sweet,
sure.
Remember
nice.
That fire?
Sure. Nice. You're welcome at any of our shows. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Silver Sun Pickups. We announced earlier this morning they're playing the K Rock Weenie Roast in Luau 2019. It's June 8th. At Doheny State Beach in Dana Point. First time we're doing it there. The Lumineers, 311. Silver Sun Pickups, The Revivalist. Catfish and Bottleman. Ex-Ambassadors, Florida Cash. Smith & Tell and The Regrets.
I'm going to wear the white lifeguard sun lotion on my nose.
Oh, the zinc oxide?
Yeah,
like
I'm going to wear
it
on my nose. The whole day.
I like it. That's a good. That's good. A good look.
And I'll also add about Silver Sun Pickups, because we love them so much, that they are going to be in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Brian and Nikki from the band are coming in, performing their new single, Acoustic, for us Thursday morning.
All right.
Thursday morning. Right,
all
right. Here on K-Rock. Live music. It's going to be fun. Olivia Wilde, you guys. We have known her as a great actress for a long time. Now we can actually say she is a great director. Wait till we tell you about her movie coming out next month called Booksmart. She's going to be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show right after 9. First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Monday.
Guys, SNL has 3 original broadcasts left in its 44th season. And the rumor is, if you're a fan of Kate McKinnon, you should really try and enjoy these last 3 broadcasts of its original season. Yeah, she is nearing the end of her contract with the show. And according to 2 people familiar with the matter, although the situation is fluid with renegotiations, they have not come to terms yet. This is canceled, according to an article that just came out on Variety. So, Bean, that would be
a death
tremendous
blow. But you know
loss.
What? We say that, but we have lost, and I mean America. You know, that's how we felt when we lost Will Ferrell, you know. But the show
and
goes
Kristen
on.
Wiig
and they
and they,
yeah, exactly. Jason Sudeikis, all the greats, and they find new people. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what SNL does, but that is a big, big loss.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
You're right, Kat. You're absolutely right.
And we don't know for sure yet. They are still in the middle of renegotiations, so we'll see. But maybe if you're a Kate McKinnon fan, record these last few.
The only thing you can count on is that Kenan Thompson is there forever.
He, what is he in, his 84th season?
I think it's maybe like 13th or 14th maybe.
If you would have put the bet down on how long Kenan would be on SNL, you would not have said this on.
Unbelievable.
He's done,
and by the way,
his thing.
Other people you can go, they had a good week or a bad week. Kenan never has less than a great week.
No, he's
he's the most consistent player on that show.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
You guys remember back in 2017 that Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green had filed for divorce, 2017, and then no one ever really heard anything again about it. You'd see them together at places, weren't really sure what was going on. Well, they are officially back together again. The Transformers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles actress Megan Fox filed papers at a Los Angeles court late last week to dismiss those divorce proceedings.
Well, my prayers worked.
There you go.
Megan Fox, Megan Fox, oh, Megan Fox.
I don't know that we need.
Big, bulgy things are going to happen.
I don't know if we need this.
I don't know.
And by that, I mean
I think we know.
I think we understand. That one goes back maybe a few years. Things have changed.
I haven't listened to that in a while, have you, Bean?
No, I haven't. Megan Fox fits. I thought it'd be funny. I didn't realize it had aged so poorly.
Good God. Hey, remember when we were talking about the upcoming Beverly Hills 90210 reboot series?
Sure.
And it's going to be Jason Priestley, Jenny Garth, Ian Ziering, Gabriel Carteris, Brian Austin Green, Tori Spelling. They had all signed on to the project. It's a 6-episode reboot set to air this summer. It's 19 years after the original series finished airing, and it's going to be basically them playing heightened versions of themselves with a healthy dose of irreverence, very self-deprecating. Well, we have found out that Shannen Doherty is going to be in it, you guys. That's exciting. She was the one that wasn't going to.
Right.
Her and Luke Perry. But Luke Perry has passed away. He obviously is not going to be in it. But now it's all of them. Shannen Doherty back. Brenda Walsh. Why am I the only one excited?
I think they're going to run into a bunch of issues trying to make jokes with a deceased cast member. Like, because they're going to be like, oh, we're ever coming. I mean, how do you deal with the one guy who's not there in your humor?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe they avoid that altogether.
Fatality.
Isn't it great, though? That Shannen's back?
Yeah, if you're a 90210 fan, I guess it's exciting news, sure.
And she's healthy.
That's good news. She's healthy enough to work, yeah.
There you go. All right, let's...
Well, you got Gossip Girl tonight, and then you got Beverly Hills 90210 on Tuesday, and that's the one when they have the big drag race with the GTO judge.
Oh,
okay.
That should be happening on Tuesday.
That show is...
Beverly Hills 90210.
Very much over.
A preview of the new season,
apparently. Okay, great. God, I wish Gossip Girl was back. How great was that show?
XOXO.
Right? Remember when we found out who was Gossip Girl, and everyone's like, no, I didn't see that coming. Some birthdays for you. Jerry Seinfeld, Uma Thurman, Daniel Day-Lewis, Willie Nelson, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Carney Wilson. Oh, for the love
you want
of
it every time?
God!
Heads up!
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye.
That's what's happening.
Until then, baby, are you gonna let them hold you down and make you cry?
That's what's happening.
back.
Things will tell you away.
What?
What?
I think you need to speak up.
That's what's happening.
Maybe yelling?
That's what's happening.
We have to.
Look. Here's my whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super lazy, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Right. So if they're going to pay me a lot of money to be the actor, and then I get to go back to my trailer and, you know, sleep.
Right.
Why wouldn't I do that instead of being the director and then having to work 23 hours a day and deal with everybody's nonsense?
I would assume that you would want to challenge yourself to do more, B.
The dream is just getting through the day.
Yes, just skating by. I guess what I'm saying is I don't understand this Olivia Wilde. I think she had a good thing.
She's calling right back. She's not quite here yet.
Well, we were doing the thing.
Yeah, I know we were doing the thing, but
she's calling in directly. I think it'll help our phone connection.
Well, that was a disastrous waste.
Let's do it again.
Try it again, but like just a kind of a different feel. Give me a different motivation.
Like say a British accent.
Tone will be here all day.
I don't understand the decision she made. It seems like being a director is much harder.
Oh. Wow, that's Arnold.
Yeah, that was oddly Arnold.
I'll be back.
I have more trouble with my British accent than I do with my rap flow, just in terms of keeping it consistent.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm like in and out all the time.
No, I think you're dead on, and you should keep it up.
Yeah. I was looking forward
she,
to
She called back and then dropped off.
I know.
And then
now
it's called
back. Yeah, direct. Good.
All right, we're looking at her name.
A lot of times we get guests and they go through like four different connections and they sound really crappy.
We have to start doing things. We look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
I know, but I think we have Olivia now. Yeah. I understand. Olivia, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes.
Thank you for the repeated effort to get on the line. I know our phone system is a little janky, so we do appreciate it. How you doing today?
You guys are very popular, and I was on hold, and it was like the old days when I would call in and be on hold, so it was totally fine.
Olivia, what's your request? What do you want to hear?
Yeah, what do you want to hear?
Oh, my God. Oh, God. What don't I? Just want to hear Lizzo all day long, every day.
Amen. That new album.
Yeah.
How good is
it's
it?
Everything.
Right?
It is my everything. Oh, forever.
So I sing Soulmate into the mirror every morning.
Yes. Oh, so good.
Could you record that? I can't wait to see her live.
Olivia, we were talking about before you came on, and you're not the first actor who has said, hey, I can do a lot more than just be in front of the camera. I want to direct, but I feel like it's 25 times more work than being an actor. What's wrong with you, girl?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it really makes you realize how easy acting is, let me tell you. No, I'm kidding. I mean, acting is hard, too, but directing is totally different. And yeah, I was eager to do it for a long time, and I finally got the opportunity with this movie that I love so much. And it's the best, and now I'm hooked, and it's all I ever want to do.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Well, I gotta say, your first time out to direct this movie, good Lord. First of all, anyone that has seen the previews for Booksmart is already in. But I'll tell you, we all saw it yesterday. I am so bummed this movie wasn't around when I was in high school because everything about it is perfect. But I'm going to say it right now, as an older lady, I still loved it so very much.
Because,
it is wonderful.
Because you're a child in your mind.
I am, basically. Right. But it is so great.
I love that you feel that way, and I feel that way, too. Like, I wish this movie had been around for me, but I do feel like it is, you know, hopefully once in a generation there's a movie that helps people, you know, feel a little bit better about being young and feel more connected to their peers and remind them to have fun with being young. And it's also, by the way, good for us oldies because I feel nostalgic watching it. So
absolutely.
I think the movie is truly for everybody. That's my hope.
How do you find that? The script's been around for, what, 10 years or something like that? And you just decided that you could do something with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, the kernel of the idea was there and we just had to find it. You know, I think it was almost like waiting for society to catch up with this concept because for a long time, nobody wanted to make a movie about two really smart girls who were best friends. And it was a movie just focusing on a female friendship. Those are still pretty rare, which is weird. I know.
That is weird.
So we had to kind of wait for the world to be ready. And the world is super ready right now. And I'm excited that it's finally going to be in the world because it's a movie that I think makes everybody just feel good. That's what I've been loving is like people leave these screenings and they're like, I feel good. I'm dancing. I feel happy. And
Now, let me,
we need all of that that we can get right now.
Yeah, we do.
I know, let me, right? Amen.
Let me jump on that where you're talking about being ready for the female friendship. I wondered if that had something to do with you being able to direct this, because when you see, you know, Patty Jenkins breaking through with Wonder Woman, you see Brie Larson just directed her movie. I mean, I just wonder if there would have been a time even a few years ago where people would not have given you this job, but now they realize, hey, guess what? Chicks could do everything.
Absolutely. I think, you know, people like Greta Gerwig paving the way. There are so many great female directors out there, and now people are getting jobs. People, studios are giving women more opportunities, and that's where it starts. And I'm super lucky to have this chance. I mean, also, a lot of directors make movies that never hit the theaters. So the fact that this is going wide is, like, blowing my mind. I can't really believe
it. I love that Bean said chicks can do anything. Why not just say, like, bitches be able, right?
Also, too, like, as a film nerd myself, Olivia doesn't take, like, in this film, she doesn't take the easy route in anything.
No.
There are school shots where, like, it's busy already, but then in the far background, you just see two people fencing. I was like, she did not have to do that. There's no need to give yourself more work.
I mean, I was so inspired by movies that we all grew up on. I mean, Breakfast Club, Dazed and Confused, Say Anything, Ferris Bueller, Clueless. Like, those were the movies that I was dedicating this one to, you know? So all those movies have that texture and layers, and they just feel authentic. So the goal was to try to make this one feel authentic.
It does.
Well, not only do you have to capture high school life, Olivia, and as a first-time movie director, you have an underwater scene, you have a stop-motion animation scene, you have a sex scene. I mean, all of those are not necessarily things that are easy for one person to do, and you had to manage all of them.
Well, I didn't know if I'd ever get the chance again, so I had to flex a little bit.
This is quite a reel, more than anything.
The underwater scene is so beautiful and so perfect. You could have just done that, and I would have been like, this movie's great. But instead, you're like, no, stop animation. Let's do that.
And Olivia, like, I saw the music is done by Dan the Automator, which K-Rock fans might recognize, obviously. Like, what's your connection to Dan? Was there any – are you a fan?
I'm a huge fan of Dan's, and I have been for a really long time. And then our music supervisor, Brian Ling, who's amazing, is also – he manages Dan. And so I had the hookup. And it was, like, the greatest day ever when Dan said, yeah, I'm interested in scoring books, Bart. I was like, this is so amazing. It's like such a dream come true. Because the music was a huge priority to me. I mean, the whole soundtrack, we have over 30 needle drops.
Amazing.
We have everybody from Santa Gold to LCD Sound System to Jurassic 5 to Alanis Morissette. I mean, it goes all over the map. And I'm really excited for people to dance their way through the movie.
Yeah, the soundtrack is killer. We have Olivia Wilde on the phone, director of the film called Booksmart. Now, I know we're getting you all hyped up. It actually isn't in theaters until May 24th, but we need you to spread
the
word. And you need to see this trailer, and you need to make sure everybody heads out for that opening weekend. It is, I forgot. Jensen, you had that one question we wanted to squeeze in before we went.
Oh, absolutely. It's a very much a huge concern for me. I'm wondering, Olivia, how Jason Sudeikis stores his Nikes and how you allow it to happen. Because my wife and I'm newly married, and we are running into the issue where she's just realized, months after the wedding, how many Jordans I have. And we don't have a solution, and I'm nervous, and I'm wondering if you could help.
Well, I'm curious where you were hiding all these Jordans before the wedding.
I don't answer that publicly. I will not tell anyone that on air.
He was renting a separate apartment for them.
Yeah, you know how a lot of people have like a separate wife and kid in Utah? I just had an apartment filled with shoes.
Well, I kid you not, Jason converted a child's bedroom into a sneaker closet.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's how many he has. And he keeps them very tidy and color coordinated. And he does the rock and stock. I mean, it's intense.
God
it's
bless you. God bless
obsession.
You more than anything. I mean, it's great how much he spent to keep the hobby alive, but God bless you.
I think God bless the kid that doesn't have a room now. Yeah.
I know.
No, he lives in it with the shoes.
Yeah, he loves it.
Olivia, it's so great to have you back on the Kevin and Bean Show. We love you. We're so happy for you. Congratulations on Booksmart. We can't wait for the Kevin and Bean audience to get out there and see it May 24th. And you're welcome back anytime. Time, all right?
Oh, thank you guys so much. Have an awesome
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
The ex-ambassadors are back on the Weenie Roast bill, by the way. June 8th at Doheny. Also, Catfish and the Bottleman, The Revivalist, Silver Sun Pickups, 311, The Lumineers, Flora Cash, Smith & Tell, and The Regrets. It's a great lineup that's going on sale for the pre-sale street team members Thursday morning at 10, and then the public Friday morning at 10. You can get all the details at krock.com. It is Weenie Roast and Luau 2019 time, you guys.
Good times.
I'm telling you, this year is just flying by.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know how close I am to telling you how many days till Christmas. I mean, that's what's happening when you start getting into Weenie Roast.
Sorry, we ran out of time. It's time for What's Happening with Allie.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Remember when I told you the lineup for Woodstock's 50th anniversary revival?
It was awesome.
Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus, Chance the Rapper, Imagine Dragons, then longtime veteran artists like Santana, Robert Plant, Grateful Dead offshoot, Dead and Company. I mean, they kind of ran the whole gamut of all different genres of music to get people out there for the 50th anniversary. And then I told you on Monday, which was Earth Day, which was supposed to be when tickets went on sale, that, hey, they're kind of pushing that back a little bit. They're not going to sell tickets just yet on Earth Day, Monday, the 22nd. And people thought, okay, well, maybe it's because they haven't completely gotten the permit for the venue for August 16th through the 18th at Watkins Glen, New York. But they kept saying, but it's still on. You guys, calm down. Calm your T's. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, you got to dot your I's and cross your T's. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You can't go public with it until it's official.
Absolutely. Well, it is official. Woodstock's 50th anniversary revival has been canceled.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
This isn't good.
Canceled.
This is from the Dentsu Aegis Network, which is funding the festival. They confirmed the news in a statement. They said, despite our tremendous investment of time, effort, and commitment, we don't believe the production of the festival can be executed as an event worthy of the Woodstock brand name while also ensuring the health and safety of the artists, partners, and attendees. Oh.
What made you think that it was cool to say that?
I'm just saying he had to cancel it in some way. That is just part of the statement. Yikes.
That's a pretty big deposit to lose.
That's not good, you guys. So there you have it.
We should do it. We should have Woodstock here, like in Encino or something.
Definitely Encino.
Where in Encino exactly?
There's a parking lot.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can get a parking lot or like something. I don't know. There's like a laser tag place off Van Owen.
Okay. All right. I'm feeling it now.
What the specific breakdown was here, but I do wonder if we're at peak festival now.
I mean, we have to be. It's the same thing.
It's not possible to have more festivals. It's just not.
It's almost like every weekend in America, there's some other festival going on with 40 bands.
Yeah. Agreed.
But you would have thought Woodstock's 50th anniversary. That's something that people
maybe
were
that would stand out a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently not.
I mean, especially with the tie-in to have the Dead and Santana and some of those other bands from the original show. I mean, there was a little bit of history there.
Yeah. David Crosby, John Fogerty.
Nope.
Yeah. Guess not. All right. I have been sent this article from probably 30 people, and I appreciate it because it combines my love of two things, Jeopardy and...
Almost got through a whole show, guys.
Right?
And
almost.
The number just below 70. One below 70.
Would that be 69?
Nice. Here's what it says. Dear readers, please steel yourselves. We regret to inform you that both Kennings and Holzhauer, that would be Ken Jennings and James Holzhauer, two contestants on Jeopardy, have confirmed the contestants are no longer allowed to wager 69 as their final Jeopardy bets.
Really?
$69 is only one of five apparently banned wager amounts.
69.
Right.
Nice. The numbers 14, 88, and 1488, which are all apparently associated with neo-Nazi propaganda. Those are all banned, which, okay, I'm glad you're banning that. That sounds good.
Wait, if somebody says 14, that's some sort of a dog whistle to other white nationalists?
Yeah, I think it's like 14 words. You don't want to know it. It's not good.
It's a whole... You can read up on it, you know, in awfultimes.com. another number that's out, so you've got 69 out, 14, 88, 1488. $666 is also out.
Wow.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
It's just cuckoo. However, as of right now, 420 is safe, you guys.
Wow.
Smoke weed every day.
This is news to me, but this is according to the AV Club. So if any Jeopardy producers are listening, I mean, you're stripping contestants of their God-given right of betting
$69.
I mean, right? Larry King wants to know. Larry King wants to know. And usually I wouldn't do a story on Taylor Swift. However, she will be opening the 2019 Billboard Music Awards. That is happening in Las Vegas on Wednesday, airing live on NBC. But she will be with Panic at the Disco's frontman, Brendan Urie, singing the new single, Me. And they're going to kick off the show. But the reason I'm telling you about this is because it also has to do with her new cat, Benjamin Button. He's a very good boy, apparently made his debut in the video. So she's so adding to her cats. But Bean found a clip of a fan who was recording herself watching the Me video for the first time when she realized, oh, that is a new cat.
Yes! Did she get another cat?
I love that girl so much.
She does seem very happy.
She's so happy.
Does it bother you, Bean, that you're about 70% that excited about her cat?
Not at all.
Okay.
I love Taylor and I love her cats.
Okay, great.
Understandable.
Hey, it's Taylor Swift. You're listening to the
Kevin and Bean Show.
And she recorded that IID just for us.
That was nice. Wow, that was very nice of her. And if you're just waking up, you had a long weekend, and you're wondering, wow, how'd that Avengers Endgame do at the box office? Well, it's become the first movie to earn over $1 billion at the global box office after its first weekend. And by over $1 billion, it's $1.2 billion worldwide. But this
in the first weekend,
this blows my mind. It's now the fastest film to gross $1 billion and has eclipsed the total theatrical runs of 17 of its 21 MCU predecessors.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
This is one movie, people.
So in other words, Guardians of the Galaxy will come out,
mm-hmm.
and this new movie that just came out this weekend will make as much as that and 16 other movies.
Yeah. Yes.
That's in one weekend.
In one weekend. Absolutely.
Astonishing.
Yeah. But in case you're wondering domestically, we're at a currently estimated $350 million
nuts.
For its first weekend,
check,
you guys.
Please.
This was a success.
Complete success. There were other movies at the box office. Coming in number two this weekend, Captain Marvel with $8 million. You had to be Disney and just be like, look at
how's
that.
The stock looking today, Jensen?
It was up big, and then it started to slide because I think everyone was like, sell now. But it's at its highest in 56 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. Unreal.
That's before Disney Plus, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to...
Yeah.
That's the stock sound.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming and that's official?
Thought that was mayonnaise.
All right.
Sorry to everyone that was there in the audience that knows what he's talking about. Coming in third, The Curse of La Llorona. $7.5 million. Breakthrough at $6.3 million. And then rounding out the top five, Shazam with another $5.5 million.
Kevin, your level of satisfaction with the new Avengers film?
A 10, Bean.
That's
out of five.
And I will see it again.
He's going to see it.
How about that?
He's got 3 more hours to throw away.
I do. No, it's not a throwaway. It's really satisfying.
Yeah.
It's the best conclusion to any movie series ever.
Well said, Kevin.
Thank you.
And you had said before you even saw it that you'd probably see it 3 times in the theater.
Yeah.
And now after seeing it...
For sure.
There's
so much in it, and you catch a lot if you've seen... And I've seen all the other Marvel movies, mm-hmm. so you do catch a lot. But I assume that you also miss a tremendous amount as
right.
well. So.
Not you, though.
No. I mean, I don't,
other
but
people,
I'm saying
other people.
Mortal people, yeah.
Mortals,
right.
yeah.
Mortals.
Yeah.
If someone had only seen Ant-Man and Black Panther...
Right.
Would they still enjoy this movie?
Sure.
I am hearing you can't just walk in.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't cry as hard, and I wouldn't be as satisfied.
No.
Which is a Saturday night right there. All right. Interesting. Okay, some birthdays for you. Uma Thurman, Jerry Seinfeld, Michelle Pfeiffer, Willie Nelson. God damn it, Kevin.
turn around and say goodbye. Until then, baby, are you gonna let him hold you down and make you cry? Don't you know?
I thought you wanted me to play the music.
I hadn't said her name yet.
Oh.
Carney Wilson.
Oh, don't you know? Things will change. Things will go your way. If you hold.
And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. To drive home, till us tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Scott Aukerman joins us in studio.
Love him. Mm-hmm.
As does Brad Williams, who we also love.
I tolerate him.
You knocked yourself out and should be allowed to talk to girls ever.
Oh, come on.